John chapter 19. Therefore, Pilate then took Jesus and scourged him. And that's all John says about it. I think this is one more example, one of many examples, showing that man did not write the Bible. Because if man had written the Bible, they would have gone into great detail about this, because scourging was such a horrible thing. It's my understanding that when someone's scourged, it's some kind of whipping tool where there's like leather straps on it, and maybe even some at the end of each strap is like something sharp. I don't know if it would be rock or metal or what. And then they would whip you on your back, usually 39 times, 39 lashes. I mean, that would just absolutely rip up your back. And I can't even imagine. Jesus must have been, after the scourging, must have been so weak and in so much pain. And yet, John gives us one sentence. Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Period. And the soldiers wove a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put a purple robe on him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him with their hands. Of course, this is all mocking him, disrespecting him, torturing him. I mean, I'm sure that they, when they made this crown of thorns, they didn't gently place it on his head. I'm sure they crammed it into his scalp. Therefore, Pilate went out again and said to them, "Behold, I bring him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." Just like in any crowd, you have your infiltrators. So the chief priests and officers have infiltrated the crowd, and they're getting the people riled up. You know, a lot of these people probably didn't even know who Jesus was. But that's just crowd mentality. You get infiltrators in there, and you can get a crowd to do anything you want. And that's exactly what they were doing. Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God." Of course, he is the Son of God. Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he was even more afraid. So he was afraid of the people. This crowd was getting out of control. And went into the judgment hall again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and have power to release you?" Not really. Jesus answered, "You would have no power at all against me unless it were given you from above. So, no, Pilate, you don't really have the power. First of all, you're not using your power, because if you really were using your power, you would let me go, because you've already found no fault in me. But you're scared of the people. Second of all, I'm allowing you, Pilate, to do this to me. You know, I don't have to. I could zap all of you right now. But I'm allowing this to happen because this is God's will." Then he keeps talking to Pilate, "Therefore, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." And we know that Judas is the one who betrayed Jesus. And from then on, Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, "If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar." Therefore, when Pilate heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. And it was the preparation of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." Now, when it says the sixth hour, I'm kind of thinking this is Roman time. I think there was a difference between Roman time and Jewish time. I think this is probably Roman time, because I'm going to guess that it's 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning on Friday. That's just my guess. And he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Now, again, remember, the chief priests and officers have infiltrated this crowd, riled them up, got them to say things that normally each individual person in that crowd would not do. Therefore, he then delivered him to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the Place of the Skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the middle. So we know from other accounts that there were two thieves, one on each side of Jesus and Jesus in the middle when they were crucified. And I think this is probably around 9 a.m. on Friday morning, just from other accounts. That, because we know he died around, well, I think he died around 3 p.m. on Friday. It took about 6 hours for him to die. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many of the Jews then read this title. For the place where Jesus was crucified was near to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, 'I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered and said, "What I have written, I have written." Oh, so now Pilate's going to be Mr. Brave. "I'm not changing it. What I've written, I've written." Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts for every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout, so it couldn't be torn into parts. You would ruin the coat. Therefore they said among themselves, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." So let's do a drawing, see who gets his coat. That the scripture might be fulfilled that says, "They parted my garments among them, and they cast lots for my clothing." Therefore, the soldiers did these things. And that's from Psalm 22:18. Now, by the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Therefore, when Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, so that'd be John, standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, or to John, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Now, I'm not exactly sure why. I do think Joseph, we haven't heard anything about Joseph. So I'm thinking that Joseph had already died. But Jesus did have some brothers and sisters. So I don't know why they weren't taking care of their mother. Why Jesus would have been the oldest of the siblings, so it makes sense that he would make that decision. But why John instead of one of his siblings? I don't know. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, he had finished his mission, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, "I thirst." Now a vessel of vinegar was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it on hyssop and put it to his mouth. I don't know what that's all about. That may have been some kind of natural anesthetic or pain reliever or something. Not sure. Therefore, when Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. And I think that, just like I said from other accounts, that's probably going to be about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And we know from other accounts that lots of things happened when Jesus died. There were earthquakes, the temple, curtain between the holy and the holy of holies tore from the top to the bottom. The graves were opened. Lots of things happened. It was dark. It was dark for like 3 hours. Therefore, because it was the day of preparation, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. I'm not entirely sure. I haven't done a study of this, of what, why that Sabbath day was considered a high day. We do know that per the law of Moses, bodies were not to hang overnight. And of course, the soldiers wanted to break the legs of all three of these guys to hasten their deaths. That's my understanding with a crucifixion. You know, they're suspended up there in the air. They can't get any air to their lungs, so they're having to use their legs to kind of lift their bodies up so they can get air into their lungs, because their lungs are probably filling up with fluid. Well, if you break their legs, then they can no longer lift up to get air into their lungs, and that's going to quicken their death. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. So the two thieves, their legs were broken, so they must have still been alive. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers, with a spear, pierced his side, and immediately blood and water came out. And I think that's significant, that it was blood and water that came out. And he who saw it has borne witness, and his witness is true. I think this is talking about John. He who saw it has borne witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that what he says is true, that you might believe. John was there. He witnessed it. He was an eyewitness. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, no bone of his shall be broken. And another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And these are from like Psalm 34:20, Psalm 22:16, Zechariah 12:10. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. Therefore, he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, remember he was that Pharisee that came to Jesus by night, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. Then he took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices to bury, as is the manner of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher in which no man was yet laid. Therefore they laid Jesus there because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was nearby. And we know from other accounts that this sepulcher was a brand new sepulcher, a brand new tomb, and it was actually, I think, for Joseph of Arimathea. It was his. You know, it was probably for him to be buried in. But out of respect, and because they needed to find a place quickly to put Jesus' body, because it was the preparation day, and Joseph's tomb was nearby, they just used his tomb. And that is John 19.